They've put their Indigenous advisory group together and they've been working very hard under the directorship of the, Chief Librarian, Alex Byrne. So, and like Ronald Briggs, who's an Aboriginal guy, he's been there for a very long time, a couple of decades, I'm sure. And for him to see the progress that's been made in the last couple of years must be extraordinary. Like, just Aboriginal people in New South Wales, it's just amazing because we need our stories told. Often a lot of things were, very much hidden. That's why it's really important that we actually expose and get the truth out there and what really happened and be able to access the records and then work with those records to give our side of the story.
What also transpires from the State Library is that most of the writing and the stories told about First Nations people are actually told by the wider community, but not the First Nations people themselves.
Yeah, it's a funny sort of moment, isn't it? For me, it was more a recognition of the fact that there are Bunjalung or, Gumbangya, Dungari, the language group areas of Aboriginal people that live in the state-based boundary have the right to have their works recorded and turned into a material form, which means that then they can own the copyright. And then those troves of information can then be accessed in the future by descendants of those Aboriginal language group people. So I think fundamentally it's all about having the opportunity to be able to have access and also getting recognition for what happened in this state of New South Wales, as it's called, but, for us it's all broken up into language groups of Aboriginal nations and clans.
Different nations, different nationalities, different languages, and, we call this New South Wales. This is part of colonisation.
Exactly. Well, I always say that it's the first colonised and we're the last recognised. That was a small step by the State Library, and good on them. They've obviously got a good director and they've got a really cool group of advisory groups, strong, collection policy strong, and, they deserve a pat on the back because a lot of people are trying to diminish what Aboriginal people have done and they're embracing it. So I've got nothing but praise for them.
Yeah, and especially that this event comes up right in the middle of NAIDOC Week. What does it represent for, how do you see it symbolically?
There is not one Aboriginal person's family in this state that is any more important than another Aboriginal person's family. At the end of the day, we exist in song lines and along a strong matrix of existence where we are all connected to each other, and it's so essential that we don't prioritise or glamorise Aboriginal success, but that we actually look at the depth of Aboriginal oral history and culture in this state of New South Wales and record it. It's incredibly important, and it's vital to the continuation of our thriving culture.
Some scholars and some people in charge will tell you that it's extremely hard to capture oral history because some of the historical facts are transmitted from one generation to another through storytelling, through just family yarns and all that.
Yep.
What's being put in place to actually immortalize that culture?
One thing that I did raise is that the Copyright Act does not work for our oral histories. Our rock faces are, over 60,000 years old, and they're not protected because, as you may understand, is the Copyright Act in existence now is the lifetime plus 70 years after the person, the creator has died.
Yeah.
So obviously when you're dealing with a culture that's over 60,000 years old, the non-Aboriginal framework of copyright doesn't work. When you have an instance of where a lot of non-Aboriginal people or people from different cultures go in and actually, they're probably trying to do the right thing by helping to record,
yeah.
But they actually own the copyright. When they turn the oral story into a real or material object, then they end up owning the copyright. So I think we have to be careful about how we present that recording of information and also protect our Aboriginal elders and storytellers by making sure that they understand that, in fact, someone in their family should be the person who's turning that into a material form.
Yeah.
So that you don't have this problem with people, owning somebody's story under the Copyright Act.
So it's going to be a two-way journey because there is the wider community, they need to know
Absolutely.
That history. And then there is the First Nations people who want to tell it, but at the same time protect their own copyright and their heritage.
Absolutely. And I think that, look, everything, if you, we're very patient people, I think, on, in general. So it's been such a long, you know, journey for so many great advocates and activists in this country. It's just time for us to get this recognition, and it needs to happen quicker than it has over the last 230-odd years. Yeah, we're hoping that we can get some accelerated, you know, movement around this.
What would be your message to the outer community there? And, well, the First Nations people?
I just think be very, very, very careful about who you tell your story to. Be mindful of the fact that we do want to leave our stories for future generations. Basically, we have to work together to make sure that we utilise the non-Aboriginal colonialist history for us to come back and then put our story alongside that, because obviously the written word appears to be stronger than the oral storytelling. So we need to make sure we get that balance in there and make sure we get a true history that reflects both sides of this country. Until you have truth, you will not, like the whole of Australia will never heal. We need to be recognised for what our generations of families have been through, which has been horrendous. But then you must accept that, and then you can move on. But if you continually deny it, like people like John Howard, who's just come out again and said, I don't believe there was any genocide. I mean, This is just an amnesia, you know, and you can't say that there wasn't genocide in this country and colonisation at its worst.